Good morning. This week's Sefer is Parashat Vahalotcha. And what I want to concentrate in on. In this parasha are two psukim, two very famous psukim that we all know psukim, but they, by the time we get to the end of the shira, I have a feeling that we will see that they are clouded in great mystery. And there even may be many questions that will arise during the course of the shira. We may not be able to answer all of them, but let's begin two famous psukim by Yehidin Sarah Ha'aron. In the middle of Parashat Vahalotcha, there is number one by Yehidin Sarah Ha'aron. When the Aaron journeyed by Yom Moshe, Moshe said, in the sense he prayed, Kumo Hashem, arise God, your fuksu yevecha, your enemies be dispersed, your nusu misanecha mipanecha, and let those who hate you flee from before you. And when the Aaron came to rest, he said, Shuv Hashem, livvot alfei Yisrael. Rashi translates the word Shuva from rest. When there's Menucha, he said, Shuva Hashem, livvot alfei Yisrael, God, give a little menucha, a little rest for the tens of thousands of Israel. You will notice, of course, something strange about this parasha. Do you see the upside down, opposite way nuns? There's a nun before and a nun afterwards. These are the nunin, they are called the nunin hapuchin. The upside down or the opposite way, nunin. We're going to talk about the meaning and the significance of these nunin. Let's read the Rashi first. They're right immediately beneath the text we have the Rashi.
Excuse me, are the nunin in the Torah?
The nunin are written in the Torah. The Torah, Sofer, has to write these nunin hapuchim. Rashi says, "Vayehi ben Sarah Ha'aron, osolo simoniot milchonov umeli achrov." There were signs made before this parasha and after this parasha. Lomar, in order to tell you, she'ein zeh mekomon, this is not the place of the parasha. We will explain everything to the best of our ability. First, I just want the text of the Rashi, and then we're going to elaborate on it. This is not where it belongs. In a sense, it's like nearly like brackets around it, that it's placed here, but this is not really its place. Loman Esther Khan Rangers have written here, Kadei Lahav Sigvein Furamut L'Paramut Furamut, in order to serve as a separation between punishment and punishment. We're going to have to find out what the punishment and punishment is. Kidi'ita b'chol kidvei, as it says in Perek Kol Kidvei HaKodesh in Masechet Shabbat, and in a few moments we're going to go to the left hand side of the sheet where I have the Gemara in Shabbat. Rashi, well, let's finish the Rashi first. Kuma Hashem. The Aron preceded them, a journey of 3 days. By the Moshe, as the Moshe would say, Amod, stop, wait for us. Don't get any further away from us. Like Kuma, in a sense, meaning not only to stand up, but to stop. Just stand there. So it says in let your enemies be dispersed, those who are gathered in against you to wage war, and those who pursue you. Next Rashi is going to be an extremely important Rashi. This is a thought that is expressed in many places in Torah and Vimex. Moshe is saying to God, your enemies and those who hate you shall be dispersed. Who are the enemies of God and who are the ones who hate him? Who are Oyevecha and who are Misanecha? So Rashi says, Misanecha, Elu Sonei Yisrael, those who hate Israel. Called Shatara Sonei as Yisrael, because whoever hates Israel, Sonei et mi shamar v'hayar olam, hates the one who said and brought the world into being. Shenema, a pasuk in Tehillim, Umisanecha nosu rosh, those who hate you have lifted their heads. By the way, Umisanecha nosu rosh is in chapter 83 in Tehillim, that we really should be saying every day since the beginning of Milchemet Oslo 2.5 years ago. The rest of the pasuk says, Umisan Echo Nosu Rosh, Al Amcho Ya'arimu Sod, against your people, they are plotting a secret against your people. To use Sarah Honig's terminology, it's a sting. I'm not going to be explained that. You have to read Sarah Honig. I don't have to come and say shout to Sarah Honig. I want to say shout to, but it was a great article. Was that this morning? This morning. Our Amcha Ya'arimu Sod, the great sting. They have secret deals against the Jewish people. All right. Shuvah Hashem, Menachem Tirgavo. Menachem is the one who translated from Loshen Hargoa, rest. Chen v'shuvah v'nachar tivoshen. Difficult out in Israel. Marking this concept of Hashem, Hashem Shoro Yisrael till Tinnish Ne'alot Tinnish Ne'alot. For the Shekhinah, for the divine presence to come down upon the Jewish people, you need at least two Ravavot, that's 20,000, and 2,000s. 22,000 Jews can bring the divine presence. All right, we'll see how much we can explain it. First, let's begin with the Gemara. It's on the left-hand side. Having mentioned the section, and when we are on journey, the Gemara digresses to comment on it. Thamar Rabban. By Yehidim Soa Haron by Yom Moshe. Parish Azu also offers Gorfu Simon Yotu Mil Malo Mil Mata. This section of Torah, God made signs above and below it, these Nunin, what for? Lomar, to teach, Shainz and Koma, that this is not its proper place. We don't know yet where its proper place would be. Let's wait and see. Rebbe Yomer, Rebbe says, Lomar Hashem Huzer. That's not the reason why there are signs before these two psukim and after these two psukim. And Lishmanesha Sefer Koshuvu Bifnei Atzmo, because this section ranks as a significant book unto itself. We're going to shock you in a little while by letting you know, Gemara's going to say, you thought all along that there are Chamisha Chumshi Torah? It's not Chamisha Chumshi Torah. There are seven Torahs, seven books of Torah. I think the Gemara of Fortune talk about Shiva Chumashim. That's a little bit of a contradiction in terms there. There are seven Chumashim. It should be Shiva of some sort. The Gemara is going to say this, the Gemara is saying this is a book of its own, which means you have Bereshis, Shemos, Vayikra, Bamidbar from the beginning until Vayihi bin Soa is the fourth book. The two psukim of Vayihi bin Soa is the fifth book. From after Vayihi bin Soa until the end of Sefer Bamidbar is book six, and Devarim is book seven. And yet, understand, what does it mean that this is a Sefer Bifnei Atzmo? That's what Rabbi Yehuda Hazan says. Now, the Gemara says, "Command also how the Omer of Yishkul Barach Meini Omer of Yonatan." According to whom does the following statement? According to, with whom does the following statement made by Rav Shmuel Barach Meini, the name of Rav Yonatan, agree? It says a pasuk in Mishlei, Chotzva Amud HaShiva. Wisdom has built her house, and she has hewn out Chotzva Amud HaShiva. You know what Shiva are? Elo Shiva Sifrei Torah. These are seven Sifrei Torah. Kimam, this is like Rebbe, because according to Rebbe, there are not five sections of Torah, but there are seven. Kimam, Tana, the poet, Alayta, Rebbe, who is the one that disagrees with Rebbe? Because remember, in the Braita, there was one opinion that said the reason why you have those two nuns is in order to tell us that this parasha is out of place. It belongs elsewhere. And it is placed here. We have to know, of course, where does it belong elsewhere? And if it belongs elsewhere, why isn't it elsewhere? And why is it placed here? But there was one opinion that said that Simonim, the nuns, are in order to tell us that it's not in its proper place. Then came Rebbe's opinion that says, no, those two nuns, those bracketing nuns, are in order to tell us that it's a sefer all of its own. So now, who is the Tana that disagrees with Rebbe? So the Gemara says it's Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. The Tana, because we learn Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Atida parasha zu sheteyoker mikam v'tikatei v'nikoma. Rav Gamliel also shares the earlier opinion that has said this is not the place of this parasha. It's not in its proper place. And not only that, it seems that this is a journeying parsha. It should have been someplace else, and it comes here. And not only does it appear here, but Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says this poor parsha is going to keep journeying, because in the future, this parsha is going to be removed from where it is now, and it's going to be put in its proper place. The Lama Kotva Khan. Alright, so now we have to know why was it written here. But we assume that the parasha doesn't belong here. That's what Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said. It doesn't belong here. So we have to know why was it written here. So he says it was written here in order to separate between the story of the first punishment and the story of the second punishment. And we have to know what's the first punishment and what's the second punishment. And what's the point of separating between the first punishment and the second punishment? And if you want to put psukim in to separate between the first punishment and the second punishment, I mean, I can take hundreds of other psukim from Torah and take them and put them here to separate between punishment one and punishment two. I'm sure there are all sorts of psukim. Why these psukim are the ones that separate between first punishment and second punishment? By the way, if you're confused at this point, your reality testing is perfect. The problem is, if you're going to be confused at the end of this year, then it's my problem. But I hope you won't. Now the Gemara asks, put only with Shmi Omahi, what is the narrative of the second punishment? Ah, the second punishment is clear. What does it say? We have the parasha right there. Vayehi ha'am kibit oninim. The people were like complaining. Something is happening in the camp right after the parsha of Ayyid and Soah. The people are complaining. There are rumblings and grumblings in the camp. A plague begins to strike them because of the fact that they're complaining. There's something going on that's not being expressed clearly. And the grumblings and the grumblings are going to get even more intense when Jews all of a sudden are going to start complaining that they need basar, you understand, they need steaks in the middle of the desert. The whole thing is mysterious, what's happening over here. Yes?
But what, I forgot from last Shabbat, what did they complain about? Before, what was the first complaint?
Well, wait a minute. We're first answering the question about what the second complaint is.
Read on.
So you're complaining already. That the Gemara should have asked first, what's the first complaint? Oh, but the Gemara was smart. You know why the Gemara was smart? Because the second complaint is clearly stated in the Torah. So therefore the Gemara says, what the Gemara really is saying is, the second problem The second source of punishment is clear. It's right there. Vagihiho Omkibitolin, the people were like complainers. Rava Osne Hashem, who was fed the ears of God. Vagishma Hashem. Hashem heard, Vagicharapon, he got angry. Vativargom H. Hashem, and the fire of God burnt, consumed them. Vatocha Vikse Hamachne, and it destroyed the edges of the camp. Ah, but what's going to be the first one? Vayikum son, what was the first one? And now the Gemara's up to the first one. Vayisu mehar Hashem. Vayisu mehar Hashem is really two psukim earlier. I should have gotten that into. But it says, Vayisu, remember we had described what was taking place in Sefer. Bamidbar too, Vayikum son. Jews were counted. A census was taken. The main purpose of the census is to know how many soldiers, how many divisions does God have. They are all set up into camp, precisely how they're going to journey. This is an army that's getting ready to enter Eretz Yisrael. Everybody knows what their task is, the Kohanim, the Levim, the Israelim, where they're encamped, what they do, who carries what. How are they going to journey? What indication is there that they have to journey? We're even told in Parashat Halacha that the Rebbe Information tells Moshe Rabbeinu should make himself trumpets, and the trumpets are a system by which they're going to notify people it's time to journey. If Moshe Rabbeinu wants to meet with the princes of the tribes, one signal, another signal. We're talking about an army that's getting ready to march, and that's the army. We're talking about an army of God. All of them camped around the nation. The journey already began before. I keep it so out. You know, the truth is, when you take a look at it more closely, everybody's putting Vayihip and Sora Ha'aron in a position as though it's out of place. The truth is, it's very much in place. Took something before it says, Vayisu mehar Hashem, they journeyed from the land of God, derech shloshes yomim, v'aron v'rit Hashem nosei l'fnei harim, two psukim earlier, and then the ark of the covenant of God is journeying before them, derech shloshes yomim, 3 days ahead, l'tur lehem menucha, in order to find for them a place for where they're going to be at rest. So the Gemara says, so what's the problem over there? That they turned away from God. They turned away from God. Because it says, Vayisu mehar Hashem. It could simply have said, Vayisu, they journeyed. When it says, Vayisu mehar Hashem, they had been at Sinai now for a whole year. This is the first journey since they arrived at Sinai. They arrived in Sinai the year before, on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. It's now the 20th of Sivan, the first journey. And it says, Vayisu mehar Hashem, they journey to the mountain of God. Rashi says, brings in the name of Chazal, Kitino Habureya Mipeh Haseh. That first journey was like a child running out of school. There were those who felt, finally we're leaving Sinai, because if we stay here much longer, who knows how many more mitzvahs we're going to get. In other words, Chazal see this just in the words by Yisu Meinah Hashem. So that's called Pur'anut Rishona, the first thing for which they would deserve to be punished. The second is, they're now complaining. Obviously, the two of them are related. One thing leads to the next. When people are unhappy, they always find something to complain about. They make up something to complain about. Of course, it doesn't make any sense. A people who are journeying toward a great goal, a majestic objective, so they can do for a few days without basa. And here all of a sudden they need basa. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, saying, the onion leaf basa, where do I have flesh? Where do I have meat to give to all of them? So God says, Hayad Hashem Titzor, God's hand is short and God do it. Anyway, so here we have the opinions that either that by leaving Soach is not in its place, and we don't know yet where its place should have been, and if it's not in its place, so why is it here? In order to separate between the first punishment and the second, between Vayisu, Mehar Hashem, they journeyed from the mouth of God, and Vayihi Honkim is something that the people were like complaints. And then, of course, there is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who says that it's Sefer Bifnei Atzmo. Do you know why there are brackets around Vayihi Soach? Because Vayihi Soach is a book all of its own. Rav Shimon Gamliel is the one who's going to say that, yes, it's not in place, but in time to come, it's going to return to its place. Is this enough? Is this enough to confuse us all? We're going to keep moving. Yes?
Why does it stress the word punishment instead of saying that the Jews say, for the second one, a punishment is given, but for the first one, they basically say, why is the word punishment used all the way through?
So first of all, I'll tell you that it bothered me too. And as usual, the only reason why I didn't mention the question, because I didn't have a good answer. You always know that I'll ask a question about a good answer. It's a good question. So we can say that, I can say all sorts of things and you'll probably both agree with me, sometimes it will, but it means it's something that they deserve to be punished for, and now. Because it's going to happen. There are sins that, well, the Rebbeinu is Erech HaPayim, you wait later on in history. But this sin, wait a minute, I'm beginning to like this answer that I gave you. Yes. This is a sin that its punishment cannot be delayed. It has to be now. Because what this indicates is that these people have yet to grow up, and they're going to have to grow up and mature as God's people before I can bring them into Eretz Yisrael. There's something missing over here. They're not ready for the journey into Eretz Yisrael. Rashi wrote also that God's plan was that in 3 days he's going to bring them in, and would that have happened, they would have been Geula forever. They would never have been exiled from the land. They did something that calls for immediate paralysis. And obviously, you know what? We also learn from this, paralysis is that punishment is not only for the sake of punishment. Do you know what punishment is? To correct, to edify, to teach, to form and forge these people into what will become an eternal people. Oh, wait, now I'm going a little bit ahead of myself, but these two psukim are going to be the two most amazing psukim in all of an old Polish. And that's why Rabbi Gamliel said, in the future, or you will we understand the meaning of Vayihi B'Tzoahara. But that future over here is the next half an hour. We have to understand what the significance of Vayihi B'Tzoahara is. Let's turn over to the other side. On the other side, I have a piece number 5 is from Rabbeinu B'Chaya. Rabbeinu B'Chaya on Chumash. Most of the information that he gives here you already know, so it will not be difficult to go through it, but he adds elucidation and clarification. It's very important. Ba'alderech Medrash Rabotein Zichronam Levacha Perek Kol Kitvei HaKodesh, our rabbis taught us in Perek Kol Kitvei Masech Teshavis Parshas Hu also HaKodesh Baruch Hu Simonim Milmalo Lomado. God in this parashah made signs above and below. Lo matikol Hashem zeh mekomo, this is not its place. Rebbe Yonah, Rebbe says, Lo man Hashem hu zeh, that's not the reason why it has the two nuns around it. Elisha sefer choshev u'bifnei asmo, it's an important sefer on its own. man whom the polyglotted Rebbe, who is the one that disagrees with Rebbe? We learned the Gemara. Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Tanya, because we learned Rav Shimon Gamliel only. Our Tivda Parsha, Zusha Tiyogam, we become of this Parsha in terms of the uprooted from its place. Lomok Tuvakam, why is it written here? Lahase Fe Puranu Rishona, the Puranu Shnia, Puranu Rishona is the Yisum Yahashem. Oto Hayom Sorrow that day. They turned from behind God, Puranu Shnia, Hayom Kimisarim. Adkan, that's the Gemara. So we just reviewed the Gemara. Now, Rabbeinu Bechai is going to explain that there are three opinions here. The Shalosh Deos, but there are three opinions here. One, Das Tanakama. The Tanakama, the first Tana holds Shahitab Ruyan, Parashal Zulihi Katein bin the Galil. Here he's beginning to explain. Now, this is not its place. So he asks, what should have been its place? So he says, its place should have been when they told us in Parashat Bereishit, in Parashat Bamidbar, we were told about the camp as it's going to march. So it should have said that Vayehi bin Soar. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu prayed, Vayehi bin Soar. This parasha should have been written in the Golan, the Parashat Bamidbar Sinai, that it says there, the Nosa Ohel Moed, Machan Alavim, Betocha Machanot, the Ohel Moed, the Mishkan, traveled within the camp of the Levim. Because the Ohel Moed was in the Aron, and that's where it should have been written. Like even so, Aron. Thou came. But God moved it from there. Thou came also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Simonim. God made signs around it, to separate this parasha from those close to it at the beginning and at the end. In order to teach us, and he says something very fascinating. If you're going to count back from Vayehi bin Soar Aharon back in to Parashat Bamidbar, the number of parashiyot. Now remember, the definition of a parasha in halacha is not a sedra. Torah was written parashiyot. One of the separations in Torah, there is no there's no end of a sentence. Torah is written as run-on sentences. There's no period at the end of a sentence. What are the separations that we have in Torah? What we see in a Chumash as a pay or a salach, that separates one parasha from the next. The difference between a pay and a salach is a pay means that the next words are going to begin on the next line. Till the end of the line is all going to be empty and not going to write anything on it, you begin in the next line. Where there's a sabbath, it means that the next parasha begins on the same line with a separation, a pause, in which could have been written, a space in which nine letters could have been written. In all of these centers, there were many parashiyot. For example, each one of the Nisiyin was a parasha in itself. If you count back 50 parashiyot, that's exactly where Vayehi bin Soar should have been. Now you know why there's a nun around it. The nun around it is in order to tell you it's 50 parashiyot out of place.
Why what?
I have to answer everything in one shot. I think that, in other words, the nun means 50 parashiyot back. The upside down nun, or the backwards nun, is in order to tell us that it's shalom in the coma, or maybe go on one step further. The nuns, the strangeness of the way the nuns, because the truth is also like Rebbe, that it's a safer choshul b'vinei atzmo, it's a safer all of its own. So it's the two differences, the fact that there's a nun just standing up in place, and it's a backwards nun, comes to teach us, number one, it's out of place, number two, it's a safer by its own. All right, let's finish the Rabbeinu B'chai, then we'll start talking. The Das Rebbe, Rebbe holds Shahrar Shazot, that the Rabbeinu Komar Rebbe holds that the parashah was written in its proper place. It was written over here when we're talking about the journey. It said earlier, and it came to pass in the second month, that's Iyar, on the 20th day of the month, Nalehal, on the cloud lifted. Vomar, it says, by Yisu b'nei Yisroel. The children of Israel journeyed, the moment of the Holach, Masor Tabikolim. And it already tells us the journeys of the camp. So this is its place. Therefore, he says, Lomen Hashem uzer koma, shein zeh tam adorah, shasimon uvegul uzer shein kama koma. Now, Rebbe says, it's not because this is not its place. That's not why there are nuns over here. Elosha, who sefer choshuv b'nei asum, is a sefer its own. Valkein hodu asimon uvegulo, min aparshas asimus lo, l'mahu l'mahu. Therefore, to separate it off from those above and those after, because you see, you could have asked another question. If in order to tell us that it's not a place, maybe one nun would have been enough. Yeah. Two nunim seem to take it out and leave it as a sefer all of its own. Balkeinu yisimonu mahavdilo min haparsha, therefore the simonu to separate from the parshas that are close to it, above and below. The kifu zeh lomar. And he meant to say, shehatorah shehi chamisho chum shei torah nechle called the shiva sparim the chamisho chum shei torah. You see, the way he writes it is very beautiful. In other words, you can have your cake and eat it too. You can still have five kolashim and have seven. How do you have five and then seven? There are five kolashim, but there are seven sparim in the five kolashim. And one sefer really has three svarim in it. Now Midbar has three svarim. Before Vayihi b'Soar, after Vayihi b'Soar, and Vayihi b'Soar. So all the Sefer Midbar is three. Three plus the other four Hamashim, and you have seven svarim. Sefer Vayadaber, this one, Sefer Nechmat was Soshe Svarim. Okay. All right. And then he says, three times from over here, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Atido sheti oker imekoma. This parasha by Ethan Sov is going to be uprooted from its place. When is that going to be? The Gemara didn't say when it's going to be uprooted and put back in its proper place. That's going to be in Mot HaMashiach. Shiyu kola puromi ok v'teilu, because all punishment will end v'yitzer ha'gav b'teil. There won't be an evil inclination. To separate between punishment and punishment. Now, the rest of the Rabbeinu B'chai is a very big piece, but I just want to leave in the one line. According to Kabbalah, like that's the Yin thing now, a few blocks away from our Kabbalah center. They're selling Zohars for 215 shekel, I think. Anyway, by even Zohar on Parsha Zuhron method, I'll call you Le Olam. This Parsha tells us something about all of history. That's all I'm leaving in over here, because that's the last point I want to make in Shir. There's something about by even Zohar Ha'orom that is the story of history. Now to the Shir. To the continuation. If we say that it is a sefer all of its own, that means there are three svarim in sefer Bamidbar. What are the three svarim in sefer Bamidbar? It's quite clear that there's a big difference between sefer 1 and sefer 3. And we've talked about this difference in the past in different contexts. Sefer 1, from the beginning of Bamidbar until by Yidin Soah Ha'aron, it's talking about the Jewish people that are going to journey to Eretz Yisrael with God leading them in. This is a holy people on a holy mission, and they are going to make a miraculous entry into Eretz Yisrael. Those are the plans. With the Aron, with the Kodesh HaKodoshim, a camp that is pure and clean, a camp that's holy, the holy camp of a holy people led by God into Eretz Yisrael. That was the original plan. And in Sefer, in Pesach Halacha, this week's Sefer, there, toward the middle of the Sefer, something is amiss. Something's gone wrong. What's gone wrong? By Yisu Mehar Hashem, the journey turned Mehar Hashem. Ketino Kapaber, he picks us in. What's going to happen right after by Yip and so on? We're going to watch a rapid deterioration of the Jewish people. No longer a people who are marching proudly with great confidence toward their destiny with God at their head. There are complaints, there are problems within the camp. I mean, of course, we're going to come next week. Sefer is, of course, the ultimate tragedy of it all, the tragedy from which we have suffered in all generations. Ad Hayom Hazeh. The Chet HaManakum. Suffer Ad Hayom Hazeh. I better not elaborate on what I meant by Ad Hayom Hazeh, because if I'll start talking about that, I'm going to get very, very aggravated. I've been very, very aggravated all day yesterday and today, and it's only going to get worse. Chet HaManakum. And you know what it means? There are going to be other complaints, and there are going to be other problems. You know what the first Sefer in Bamidbar is talking about? The first Sefer in Bamidbar is how things should be. But then plans go wrong. The people aren't ready. They're not prepared for the great challenge. Comes the deterioration. And you know what the deterioration signals? The beginning of the rest of history. Which means that Jewish history, from after Vayehi and so on and further, is going to be the story of great successes, great failures. They're going to rise, they're going to fall, they will pass through periods of great suffering, and then there will be periods of respite in the middle. It's going to be a period of rare moments of Uvenucha Yoma, of Ayid and Sarah. But from right after this, Uvenucha Yoma, Shuvo Hashem, Vimbos Alpin Israel, begins not the utopian or the idyllic Jewish history, but Jewish history as it is. And what's going to accompany us throughout that entire history are going to be these two psukim of the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu. That tefillah is that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Jews are going to suffer from oyvim and tzonim, those who hate them and those who despise them. And the Rabbeinu Shel Olam know better than anybody else that the oyvei on Yisrael and the tzonei on Yisrael, those who hate them, are the ones who hate and despise you. So their battle throughout history is going to be your battle. If they rise and are successful, it's Kiddush Hashem. When Jews suffer and Jews are downtrodden, that's Chilul Hashem. So therefore, it's your responsibility to be out there fighting for them. Vayehi b'Mitzpa Aharon is going to be the prelude to all of Jewish history. That's what it's going to be all about. Let me give you some a little bit more about that. The Gemara says the following. Chotzvah, we talked about this pasuk in Mishlei, Chotzvah Amudel Shiva, She built her house with wisdom, and she hewed out the seven pillars, which Rashi brought. The Gemara that says that by Yidin Sara, Paran is safe liatzmo. There's a Gemara in Menachos that says, Hey is for Hamisha Chumisha Torah, the letter Hey. The Gemara describes the letter Hey as a very, very fascinating letter. It really has, it's closed in nearly completely on three sides. At the bottom it's open. The idea that it's open at the bottom is, there's a way to open. You want to walk out of Yiddishkeit? May very well happen throughout history. God hasn't surrounded you on all four sides. No. There's an opening down at the bottom. You want it out? Out. I mean, of course, it's not opening an opening up at the top, because we don't think that leaving Klal Yisrael is going out the top. That's going out the bottom. But then, on the left-hand side of the hay, there's a little opening between the roof of the hay and its left leg. All you need is a little opening. The Rambam says, you know what that little opening is for? If somebody wants to get back in, they can climb up the leg of the hay, and there's a little opening there, and you can make your way back in. Mara says it the following. Eilev Tolod Hashamayim V'Horez B'Purom. Beginning of chapter 2 in Torah. These are the stories of Shamayim V'Horez B'Purom when they were created. Al-Tikri, don't read it B'Purom. Elo Behei Purom. God created the world with a hay. U'mipnei man yivra ha'olam behei. Why was the Torah created with hay? Mipnei shedome le'achsadra. It's like a courtyard. Shekol ha'vosel batzei, yetzei. There's free will. Anybody wants out? Want out? U'mai kai wa tai yo kadei. Why is the leg hanging slightly so that there's a little bit of opening at the top? If a person is going to do tshuva, and he's going to climb, that's the way I imagine the Gemara, he's going to climb up the leg, there's going to be a spout pile, and cut it, and you can come back in. So the letter hey represents the whole world, reality, the reality. So that the letter hey, the letter Hey tells us that God created a reality and He gave it to us. The door is open. We want to leave, we can leave. There's always a way back. Which means the following. The Chamisha Chumshei Torah that are represented by the Hey, the Chamisha Chumshei Torah are talking about the person who's in the middle of the hay. The Vayihi B'Soha Aharon is Moshe Rabbeinu's prayer for the one who may have fallen out of the hay. It's the result of enemies, oivim and sonim, and therefore the first pasuk of Vayihi B'Soha Rabbeinu ward off our enemies, whether they be enemies who want to destroy us physically or want to destroy us spiritually. And do you know what the Uvnu Hayama, the second pasuk, is? The second pasuk of the Uvnu Hayama, the one who wants to come back, Shuvah Hashem, bring back the Vimuzam, the little top of the hay, so you come making your way back into it. The Vayihi B'Soha comes to separate between the first put onward and the second put onward. Because if they would have come close together, it may very well be that there would not have been any way back for the Jewish people. In a sense, Torah symbolically is saying that the Rebbe Shlomo separated between one and the other. if in addition to the fact that they are already fleeing from Sinai, they are already sinning, might have been that God forbid the destruction of the Jewish people. So therefore there's a separation between one and the other. But wait, you'll get the... go back to the page. Go back to the page, the first side of the page. Number four, the Balaturim. Ubenuchal. Is that what it here? Ubenuchal. Ksiv behei. It's written with a hey. The Nuchal doesn't need a hey. Ah, so you see, the letter A becomes an important aspect. Keneged Dalad the Golem Machne Levia, he says it corresponds to the four camps and the camp of the Levian. Now listen to the next statement that's made by the Balaturim. In the Pasuk of Ayit and Soar, there are 12 words. In the Pasuk of Uvenucha Yolar, there are 7 words. So the Balaturim says, you know where else we have a Pasuk that has 12 letters? The very last pasuk in Torah. The very, very last pasuk in Torah. You know, I believed him, I didn't. I'm not going to check him until now. I'll take a look, I'll read the pasuk to you. Well, the call in Yonah Hazaka. Here it is. Well, the call in Yonah Hazaka. Well, the call in Amor HaKadol. Asher Osman Moshe. La'enei Kol Yisrael. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11, 12. Vayihi Soar has 12 words. The last pasuk in Torah has 12 words. Uvenucha Yomar has 7 words. The first pasuk in all of Torah, Bereshit Bara Elokim Et Hashemayim Bet Haaretz, has 7 words. In a sense, do you know what the Torah is saying? This is a sefer all its own. From Bereshit to Le'enei Kol Yisrael. A whole sefer is encompassed in these two psukim. By the way, he's also going to bring the next piece of the Gemara that says, from a halachic point of view, sefer Vayihi Bin Soar, it has a halacha of sefer Torah. The Gemara says the following: if there's an old sefer Torah and there's a fire on Shabbos, can you save the sefer Torah? But it's an old, worn-out sefer Torah. So the Gemara says if there are 85 letters that are still clear, you can save that Sefer Torah Shabbos. Where did they get the idea of 85 letters? And that's a halach in Shulchan Aruch. The two psukim of Vayihi Bin Soar have 85 letters. That means 85 letters make up a Sefer. Next. So the Balaturim said, the first pasuk by Bin Soar has 12 words equal to the last pasuk in Chumash. The second pasuk has 7 words equal to the first pasuk in Chumash. I think it's a sefer of all its own. Shouldn't the second pasuk have been first and the first pasuk second? Shouldn't you have first the pasuk that corresponds to Bereshis and then the pasuk that corresponds to the last pasuk in Torah? No. Because you know what Vayihi Bin Soar is? Jewish history starting all over again. Vayihi Bin Soar Ha'aron describes the journey of the Jewish people throughout history. And despite all the suffering and the travail, you know what we're going to come back to? We're going to make it back to the Bereshis, when it was God, the world, and the Jewish people. What may make it even more understandable is a Zohar, an Arizal, better said the Arizal. The Arizal says the following: by even Soba Ha'aram, Aram, what letters do you have in Aram? What other word can you make out of the word Aram? Aleph Beis. Nora. Nora means awesome, fear-inspiring. Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanora. The Rebbeinu is Nora. Nora represents God's might that strikes fear in the world. The word Nora in many places in Tanakh and in Davin comes together with the word Adir. Adir, mighty. Nora represents God's fearsomeness. It strikes terror into the hearts of people. When the Plishtim had captured the Arum, so they said, Oilon, woe unto us, Miyatzilenu, who's going to save us? Miyad ve'elkim ho'adivim ho'ele, from this mighty God. The Arum represents God as being mighty. The place where the Arum is the place that inspires fear. It's the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Avraham Avinu called that place Yireh. What did Yaakov Avinu say when he fell asleep there? How fearsome is this place? Ein zeh ki im beit elokim v'zeh shar hashamayim. Because you know what Arum represents? Exactly what Yaakov Avinu saw in the dream. That which connects heaven and earth. Sulam mutzav arzo v'rosho matia hashamayim. The ladder going from heaven all the way up to earth. From earth all the way up to heaven. What else does the word Nora mean? Famous Gemara in Masechet Yoma. Gemara says, Lama Nigru Shimon, Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, why were they, the leaders of the Jewish people after the return to Zion, why were they called Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, the men of the great assembly? So the Gemara says, Shehehezinu Atorah Liyoshon, because they returned the crown to its original glory. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who describes God as Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanora, the God who is mighty, who is strong, who is powerful, who is fearsome. Yirmiyahu is praying to God, he refers to God as Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, but doesn't call him Nora. Why doesn't he call him Nora? So the Gemara says, because Yirmiyahu said to himself, here there are enemies of God dancing on the Holy of Holies. He couldn't say Nora. Then came Daniel, and Daniel describes God as Hakel, Hagadol. He doesn't call him Gibor. Why doesn't he call him Gibor? Because he says, his children are enslaved to the nations of the world. Where is God's strength? I don't see him as Gibor. Along came the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, and they composed the Shemoneh Esrei. And how did they describe God when they composed the Shemoneh Esrei? Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanora. That's how they described it. Why did they do this if Yirmiyahu didn't say Nora and Daniel didn't say Gibor? Why were they able to say Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Hanora? So the Gemara says, this is a quote from the Gemara. Zuhi Gvurat, Gvurato, this is his real greatness, his might, Shekovin Shet Yitzro, that he controls himself and doesn't destroy the evil. The Elohim Norotav, and you know what's awesome? And listen to what they say. What is Nora about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Shel Molei Moro, Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if not for the fear of God, Heich Uma Achat Yechola Litkaye Meit Beit HaUma. How can this one little nation survive amongst the nations of the world? So you know the Gemara, you know what the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah is saying? If you want to see the reality of God being Nora, fearsome, just take a look at one thing. Take a look at the existence of the Jewish people. I want to read something. Number 7. Let's take a look at number 7. having to name the Karot HaUman Yisraelit, the one who's going to study the history of the Jewish people, the Chol HaDorot in all generations, Yireh Rechush and Gil Hashem Noro. You know what you see? In reality, what you see is the revelation of God as Noro. And remember, Noro is Otiot Oron. The Vayihi bin Soa HaOron is going to be the prayer for the Jewish people throughout all of history. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was praying for. Sha'o'af hayam shal antishemiyut v'sinat ha'umot et ha'yehudin, despite all of the sea of anti-Semitism and the hatred of the nations of the world to the Jews, on the soil chai v'chai v'chai people live and exist. Dov ozeh omeid net k'neged kol hi goyon v'istabud, it defies all rational explanation. What it bears eloquent testimony that il moloi mo rosh al hakadosh baruch hu heich uma achas yichol al hitkayim bein haumot. That's what Anshei Knesset HaGdola said. If not for the fierceness of God, how can this one nation exist amongst all the nations? We have two quotes here. One is from the Rabbeinu Bechaya in the Cholas HaVavos, and the other is from Rabbi Yaakov Vendor. I think I once told you this, Rabbi Yaakov Vendor, a few years ago. The Chen Kosar Rabbeinu Bechaya b'Sifre Cholas HaVavos v'mivakesh odom b'zman hazeh l'od mashu dome li'inyonim ha'em. If somebody wants to see today, you know, our elders, generations back, 2,000 years ago, they saw miracles. You want to see miracles today, he says? You want to see something that's a miracle? Yabib ba'in ha'emet, take a look, with an eye of truth. On deinu benu mata, we continue to exist amongst the nations of the world. Me'eit ha'galut, from the time that we went into exile. V'sidur in yoneinu b'ne'em, and the way we were able to survive in their midst. In mashon u'bilti maskim imahem, that we survived amongst them, despite the fact that we never agreed with them. We were always the odd man out. We were always the one that called for a different kind of morality. Besetur v'goli, in concealment and in the open, we were opposed to them. V'hem yodim b'zeh, they know it. V'yideh ki inyoneinu eshech yeh karov l'inyoneinu inyoneinu b'mizonot u'betrofim v'omar ezenom. In other matters, we may have things in common, but certainly not when it comes to matters of belief. And Ezra said, we are slaves, despite the fact that we are enslaved to the nations of the world, we have not forsaken our God. So the Rabbeinu Bechaya says, you want to see miracles? Well, you complain that you haven't seen a Prius Yamsuf lately? You don't have to go to Prius Yamsuf. You didn't see 10 markets? Take a look at the survival of the Jewish people, and you are watching before your very eyes. A miracle. By the way, you don't have to look too far. You don't have to look too far. We're living evidence of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Nora. Otherwise, we would never have survived throughout history. And that's why Anshei Knesset HaGdola were able to compose this one essay that describes God as a Kel HaGdola, like even by Nora. Al Derech Zeh Kotev Rabbi Yaakov Emden, Hagdamat Siddurim, in the introduction to a Siddur. Misha ma'agim b'yichud in yoneinu u'ma'amadeinu ba'olam anachnu ha'uma b'gola. Anybody who's going to take a look at us, our position, where we stand as a nation amongst the nations in exile. Chay nafshi, I swear by my life. Ki b'hid bonini b'niflaot elu, when I think about these miracles of our survival and our existence, godlu ulayotem kol nisim in flocha asa Hashem alatenu v'mitzchayim u'bamidbar v'eretzot. You hear a statement from Yaakov Emden? Greater than all the miracles that God did in Egypt, in the desert, and in Eretz Yisrael. V'chom asha arav galutenu nitamek yoteh. And the longer the galus exists, the greater one is able to see the truth of it all. Where does it come from? We are the manifestation of Nora. We are the manifestation of Nora because of the Tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayihi bin Soa Aharon. You have to understand, you know what Vayihi bin Soa Aharon therefore means? When Jews are going to begin their great journey. Because remember, there was one journey intended from the beginning of Bamidbar unto Vayehi Soah, but that never came to be then. And there's a second journey that begins after Vayehi Soah up until today. And the strength for us to survive through the second journey that has lasted until today was the prayer of Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayehi Soah Aharon, in his mind's eye, in his prophetic eye, he sees the journey, the Norah, who is journeying together with Klal Yisrael throughout all of history. And I believe that's why the Zohar, or said, the Zohar said that if you have 22,000 Jews in Eretz Yisrael, you could already have the Shekhinah. Because of the Nuchai Yomar, Moshe Rabbeinu was also praying when they come back, Shuvah Hashem, Zirvo Dalti Yisrael. Why 22? All right, if we're already speaking in the language of Kabbalah and others, there are 22 Osios in Torah. 22,000 represents a tremendous power of Torah. So that the whole Vayehi Soah is not simply a prayer that was said by Moshe at the time. It was the prayer that he prayed for Klal Yisrael throughout all of history. And therefore, I found one other thing, and this had nothing to do with anything. I don't know about that. I think it was this past Friday night in Shul. I said, you guys got to do me a favor. You know, I don't always ask favors from the members of my congregation. But you know, they pick out the Sefer Torah. And after that, you so honest, you're supposed to say, Vidiv Shmei. You know that, I'm a very good Shmei. That's an unbelievably beautiful prayer. The only thing is, I'm one third of the way through. And they're already, God bless that meeting. I said, do me a favor. I brought one as on a push of the heat. I lose my breath. I can't say Brit Shmei. Then I said, I know what you guys are going to do. You're going to turn Brit Shmei into Kriyashma. In other words, you're going to wait until the rabbi says the last word and that. I said, I don't mind. Wait, that's what they're going to do. You understand? The whole place waits until I finish saying Brit Shmei. If this works, I'm going to use it with a few other children. Tachnun, they leave me behind in a cloud of smoke. I'm always going to have they're saying, Hashem, Hashem, Kilram, Lechanan, I'm still by Bogdanu. So the Zohar says the following, I never saw this Zohar. I see it here wrote in the Sefer. Rabbi Shimon, that was Rabbi Shimon Yechoy, said, Kavmafkin Sefer Torah Vitzibura, when you take out the Sefer Torah, publicly, Lemikraipe, to read it, Mitpatchin Tarei Shemayo Drachmin, the gates of heaven of mercy are opened up. And it awakens and arouses God's love from on high to us. A person should say the following. Beautiful, beautiful tune. So I told my boys to show us on one of these days, I'm just going to get up. I'm just going to read Brit Shmei. And for those of us who daven out of the Minas themselves, it makes it much easier because there's a Hebrew translation of the Brit Shmei right next to it. But what I want to say is the following. If you understand by the Hebrew Soah HaOrel as Moshe Rabbeinu's prayer for the safety and security of Jews throughout history, they should be able to make their way through history, and that they should be the manifestation of Norah, of God's fierceness, then you understand that the prayer that we need is the Vayishalom. Read the Brit Shmei, and you'll see how apt and perfect it is for a prayer for a people to survive and to thrive and to grow and to develop physically and spiritually throughout history. That's it. I need as many of those shoes as I can get back. Yes, she is. She gave a shield last night.
Too bad Sharon. That's last, one day she doesn't work.